It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
No, it's here, and it's spectacular, Ben. I've got the brand new, look at that bad boy. I've got the Jackson Merrill bobblehead, okay, presented by Canals. Tonight's game, 6:40. Piece of Merrill Madness right here in my hand. Look at that. If you're looking on the stream, it's great. It's Jackson. Beautiful swing. Got the tattoos on the arm. Got the eye black that he wears, like the long eye black.
Gold chain.
Looks really good. And the head is bobbling. Like my meth hands.
If it didn't, then it wouldn't be a bobblehead.
It would just be a statue. A little mini statue.
I asked Jackson after the game last night, because I'm going to do a piece on him for Channel 10 today. I know he doesn't care about such things, but to be 21 and have your own bobblehead already.
Awesome.
Usually that's something that comes along with, yeah, I've been in the league for 9 years, signed my big free agent contract, and now I'm getting my bobblehead, you know, after I've established myself. And he's done it all so quickly.
Yes.
I mean, he's hit the stratosphere. I saw more Jackson Merrill jerseys, I think, than Tatis jerseys on opening day.
Insane.
It's he is really a burgeoning superstar.
Yes, he
in
is.
Baseball. And he's performing like one, too. He comes up to the plate, and I expect him to drive the ball hard somewhere.
Good things to happen, buddy. What's he batting, about 470 on the season so far?
Something like that.
Not too shabby.
And, you know, and again, unlucky a little bit like last year. He's hit some balls hard that have turned into outs as well. He's inches away from a couple of home runs. You know, those will come as well. He's hitting the ball too well. Not for them to start coming. Ball wasn't carrying that much. Potter's only hit three home runs in the series, all solo shots. They just got the, you know, one run at a time here and there against the Braves. There wasn't a ton of, other than the opening day seventh inning rally, there wasn't a lot of crooked numbers on the scoreboard this weekend. It was just a lot of good baseball, get the runner over and getting them in, coming up with clutch two out hits for the San Diego Padres.
So people ask, I just showed it, but they want to see more of Jackson Merrill. You can't get enough Merrill Madness here. I was going to take this home for the kids, but Adam told me Scraby wants it, so I'll leave it for Scraby.
Put the bat back in. There you go. Looks weird when he doesn't have the bat. He's got a nice swing, even on a bobblehead version.
It does. He looks like him, too. It's a good likeness.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Well done,
guys. If I had to, you know, we talk about it all the time. Jackson Merrill was built in a lab. He's flawless. He's everything you want as a cornerstone piece of your franchise. If there was any flaw that he has, it's that he needs to, I think, enjoy the little things like that just a little bit more. Because if you ask him about the bobblehead or
I don't care, I just want to win baseball games.
He's like, I don't care as long as we win that day. And it's the right answer, and we all love it, and I get it. But just once, if you were to be like, I mean, I grew up collecting bobbleheads.
It's pretty badass.
It's pretty awesome, I'm not going to lie.
So he did admit last night that he had to go to Target yesterday morning, and instead of his usual route home, he went back on the 163 so he could see that.
The sign.
The Jackson Merrill sign that mysteriously popped up over the weekend.
Who did that, by the way?
It looks like an official traffic sign. I can't believe that Caltrans was responsible for that. Home of Merrill Madness and the real 2024 National League Rookie of the Year, Jackson Merrill.
Yes.
I mean, it's he said, yeah, no, I went and saw it just to see if it was actually like real. I didn't totally believe it myself, so I wanted to go by, and I did actually see the sign that is there. And as far as I know, it's still up as of yesterday. I can't imagine if it's not a real road sign that they're going to allow that.
I know. It's been there like 3 days. It was their opening day, I guess. That is fantastic.
Yeah, this is the city that made them move the surfing Madonna 15 feet because it was on a public train track thing as opposed to just someone's private wall. So I don't know that the Jackson Merrill sign is going to get to stay, but pretty cool. Whoever did that, you remain anonymous and a secret Padres fan, but that they made the Fox broadcast on Saturday.
San Diego's own Banksy out there putting up street signs for Jackson Merrill. So yeah. I love that. Whoever you are, reveal yourself or don't, or keep doing things like that. I like it.
Home but, to Merrill Mania and Jackson Merrill, the real 2024 NL Rookie of the Year.
It's incredible.
But it looks like such a real sign.
Yeah, I know.
Like
I know.
The font is right.
It's so good.
It looks like it kind of belongs there but below downtown Echo Park left lane. So strange.
That's so good, dude. You know, I've driven through Abbott, Texas, and seen the, birthplace of Willie Nelson sign. It looks just like that.
Is there more now? Someone says there's one on the 94.
Get
someone says there's
here.
One on the 5 now, too.
Outstanding.
I don't know.
I love that.
Popping up all over the place.
Who is this little instigator out there? I like you, whoever you are. Hope you listen to Ben and Woods. That's great.
We could be on their way to some Nick Pivetta signage around town if he continues to throw like he did yesterday. What a fantastic debut. I mean, I'm sure he wanted to acquit himself well with a new team.
Oh,
with
yeah.
some first start jitters, but certainly didn't look like it. Faced the minimum 21 batters, 7 shutout innings, 1 hit, 4 strikeouts, was throwing the ball in the zone, extremely efficient, works quickly, does his, his fast walk around the mound after he gets everybody out.
Iconic. I love it.
We were worried, so I was up there.
He's like Max Scherzer.
He is. He's got like a Scherzer vibe.
A little bit. I was up in the press box with Sammy, and he was worried because he wanted to get some post-game, maybe an interview with Nick Pivetta.
Thank you, P, huh?
And he knew once the ESPN got him, because they interviewed him right after his 7 innings were done, because, they're not going to make him do my post-game interview. I said, so don't worry, Sammy. I will go into the clubhouse, and if he speaks, I'll be there with a camera, and you will have some sound. And I was there, and we were able to get some reaction from Nick Pivetta.
You and Sammy tag-teamed it last night.
We did.
I love it.
Look
at you guys.
I was in the scrum last night with my camera.
What is a scrum?
Scrum is when you gather around a locker and talk to the player and shove microphones in his face.
Right.
And here was Nick Pivetta last night after the game.
And obviously to start like this and be part of this rotation, how do you feel overall just about?
It's a great honor to be here. I'm very, very excited to be here and, just trying to keep things one step at a time, just not try to stray too far away from this.
Have you even been tinkering with a lot, or has he kind of just let you do your thing? And
yeah, I've had some really good conversations with Ruben. He's kind of led me in some really good directions, along with the overall philosophy of what it is here. And I think those things are just kind of things that I needed to kind of change and adapt to and then, execute during the game.
I think a lot of you to be as patient as you were tonight.
I was in the strike zone. I think that's just what it was. I was just, I think my 1-1 counts were pretty good. And then they were swinging the bat quite often, and luckily they were just hitting to the ground or hitting the air, and just I was able to move on to the next guy.
Played in some pretty fun environments. What do you make what this has been like this weekend and the night?
Yeah, it's a really great start for the club and for the organization, and the fans' love and their excitement and energy has been tremendous, and it's just exciting to be here, exciting to be playing in front of them. That's why we all play the game, because everybody loves baseball.
What sort of appreciation have you gotten from the defense that we have playing behind you?
Yeah, we have a bunch of professionals out here. They're really good at what they do, their craft, their work. It's just an honor to be able to play beside them and just try to go for the ultimate goal, winning the championship.
All 4 wins have been a bit different. Do you see any, commonalities?
I know that voice.
Watching and now participating.
Yeah, it's just a team effort overall. It's all 26 guys doing their job and putting in and showing up when needed. And, it's just fun and exciting. And guys are enjoying it, and that's just where we want to continue to be. Even though it's a, early start, we're long season ahead, but just stay right here.
22 scoreless innings against the Braves. How big is that as a ball club and a pitching staff to hold the Braves 22 scoreless, especially when they grind you guys out so much?
Yeah, top to down or top to bottom, everybody's doing their job, but it doesn't just, it translates on the baseball field, but it really shows up in the little things and the work, in the daily work to work, the conversations being had, and everybody just kind of feeding off each other. I think that's just an important factor.
Sounds like he was ready to go.
Well, I mean, I think he's the kind of guy who just wants to move on to the next
thing. I just want to go to the next start.
He's very calm, though, how uncalm he looks on the mound. And then you talk to him, and he's, you know, just normal kind of sounding guy.
Just firing cliches at you. Firing, just...
Now, if you're going to be doing this a little bit more often...
Yeah.
Can I give you some constructive criticism?
Oh, yeah. Yes, finally, the tables have turned.
Thanks. Maybe turn that mic to those asking the questions a little bit so you can hear the questions a little better.
So, Paulie, it's a great... Darnay does that really well.
He does.
When he's in there, he does a really good job.
You know, so Julian does a really good job of that. Jake Hernani.
Jake is phenomenal.
You never have to go, hold on, I'm going to defend myself.
You don't have
to
strain
to
hear
it. You know when Jake and Julian go... They have a camera operator, and they're just holding the microphone. I was holding the camera and the microphone. I can't move the microphone.
You're telling me you had a camera in one arm and then your microphone in the other arm. I cannot move
the microphone around. It's a very short cable.
Okay.
Huh. And I was lucky to actually get it even in front of Nick Pavetta's face, and I was not going to move it at any point. Once I got there, I was locked in, and you were lucky to get any audio of the questions at all.
Okay. You know, old Shilty always says, losers make excuse and solution. So you got to decide what you want to be.
Fine. Here's my solution. Paulie, if you want to come and hold either the microphone or the camera, I have a perfect solution.
Paulie
for better
is his
audio
camera.
After the game.
Paulie is his camera operator. It would be so sick.
I'm good.
That's fine. It's fine.
I'm trying to be efficient, do things myself now.
Yeah, you're doing great. You're doing great. It was great to hear your voice. I did give me a little charge. Oh, I know him. I know that guy. I love it.
And yes, that was our friend Annie who was asking some questions. She's been working for the UT doing some stories.
Yep.
So happy for her. I got to see her opening weekend. We missed her tremendously, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago. So it was good to see her. So yeah, absolutely. That was fun to be in the clubhouse last night.
You should do a contest. Tier one gets to come in and hold my camera. I bet they would jump at that. It'd be the best contest we ever did.
Yeah, I mean... If the Padres would allow it, it is true. It is.
It's cool as hell.
We get kind of
spoiled,
and we get used to it being in the clubhouse. I mean, if you got to do it once, though, you'd
lose your mind.
You'd be like, I can't believe I'm standing in here. I still get that occasionally.
Me too.
I can't believe I am standing inside the Padres clubhouse here at Petco Park.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
But then you have to pretend like you're super cool.
Yeah, you're super cool. This is no big deal.
It's really nonchalant, and this isn't a big deal.
You can't just be like taking pictures.
No, you can't. There's definitely etiquette and protocols that you got to follow pretty carefully when you're in there, which makes it kind of a nerve-wracking experience. But
you don't want anybody's hog ending up on the internet.
That is true,
which
too.
Is absolutely
I got
possible.
Worried a little bit because I hadn't done it in a while.
Yeah.
I was trying to keep it... There was a moment where Dylan Cease like popped in, and I could see, oh, he doesn't have a shirt on. I'm trying to move the camera to make sure I don't shoot anything too low. Like, careful, don't edit that properly if there is any mistakes, and don't put that on the internet or anything.
Yeah,
so.
I saw Jake Cronenworth's bare butt last year, and it was jarring to see. I'm glad I didn't have my camera out doing an interview as well, because I would have caught it.
What they do in locker rooms, they change
clothes. Oh, it would be so uncomfortable. Imagine everywhere
and
you were.
And there's women in there, too.
I know. So maybe, you got to be careful. Yeah. The towel, the quick surfers change, under the towel.
That,
and then, it's... Some guys don't care. Some guys will just let it rip.
I will never forget being down there in the clubhouse last year when Toddy came back from his injury. He was ready to go. And, of course, had 20-plus people surrounded his locker. Well, you know who had the locker next to him was Ha-Seong Kim.
Ha-Seong Kim
who had just
gotten
out of the shower.
Yes.
He had a towel wrapped around him, and he, like, came out, and he saw that there was no chance he had of getting anywhere near his locker.
No.
So he, like, went back to where media can't go, and 5 minutes later, he comes out to check. Okay, now, surely everybody's gone. I can change. Nope, everybody was still standing right in front of his locker, and he's like kind of tapping guys on the shoulder, like, can I just
need to get my underwear on here, man. Please let me get something on here.
So
it was so, so funny. And you saw him walk out and go, oh, like, oh, it's going to be a while. So great.
All right. Different challenge for the Padres tonight as they welcome the Cleveland Guardians. We will look ahead to the 3-game series. When we come back, still have a Rondo report to get to as well. It is all coming up. More Ben and Woods ahead on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEGE 000466. For a full list of games and rules, play to 7 Mile Casino. Visit 7milecasino.com.
I will die on the hill that San Diego's best card room is 7 Mile Casino. It's not just close, which is a great benefit. It's a quick drive from downtown. downtown, just 7 minutes away. But it's really nice. Upscale. It's comfortable. The dealers are friendly. They take care of all of their players. But especially if you're a high-limit player, they want you to know. They know how to treat high-limit players right. They've got good action, good stakes at their Texas Hold'em tables, at their Pai Gow tables, at their California-style blackjack tables. They want you to make Seven Mile Casino your card-playing home.
It's everything that you're looking for in a card room, and it's everything that you're not looking for. You don't want cigarette smoke blowing in your face, cigar smoke blowing in your face.
I mean, if you do, you might have to go somewhere else.
You do have to go somewhere else. If you want to go play slot machines, not the place for you. No slot machines ringing in your ear, nobody blowing, backwood cigar smoke in your face either. It's friendly people, smoke-free environment, and the best part, the proximity. Just 7 minutes from downtown. Do yourself a favor. Check it out for yourself this year. Make it a priority to get down to 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether these stats mean anything or not. Saw this one that was posted by our friend Tom Yana Santagatapoodle on Twitter this morning. Highest slugging percentage as leadoff hitter, baseball history, minimum 162 games. And he has the top seven here listed. This is from a graphic. I don't know if it's MLB Network or ESPN. Francisco Lindor, 520. Ronald Acuna Jr., 533. Hanley Ramirez, 535. Mookie Betts, 537. Afonso Soriano, 538. Mike Trout, 550. And then jumping all the way up to 602 in the number one spot all time, Fernando Tatis Jr., highest slugging percentage as a leadoff hitter in baseball history.
I mean,
does that mean anything to you?
Yes.
I mean, does it mean he's in the wrong slot in the order, or does it mean that he's in the right slot in the order?
It means he has been in the wrong spot in the order. It means he's finally in the right spot in the order.
He
should be in the right spot, right?
Yeah, I mean, don't you want your slugging percentage guys, though, to come up with runners on base after?
Name the other guys.
Some of your good hitters.
Again?
Trout, Soriano, Betts, Ramirez, Acuna, Lindor.
Those guys are pretty good.
Yeah,
they get plenty. They get plenty of stakes, plenty of homers. I'm fine with it. Yes, the fantasy, everybody's fantasy is Luis Arraez hits a single to start the game. Jackson Merrill comes up, hits a double. It's first and third, and Fernando comes up and hits the three-run homer, and it's 3-0. Right? Everybody wants that. We've kind of seen it go. We've seen this team go away from waiting on the three-run homer. They've had that team before. In 2023, they were that team. Didn't work. Didn't work. This station-to-station approach, the fact that, yeah, with one pitch, one swing, you're up 1-0.
And that you only are guaranteed to lead off the ones to start the game.
Right.
And you get, you know, your best player, your best offensive player, up the most often by putting him in the leadoff
spot. Correct.
There are good arguments there. But remember, he is also now batting after, and you know, your catcher's had a really good weekend.
Yeah.
I don't know how long that's going to hold. But, you know, Hayward hasn't gotten any hits. You've got probably a couple of spots in the order before him that aren't going to get a lot of guys on. So every time he comes up, you might not see a ton of action in front of him,
yep.
Which means when he does hit, inevitably, with that slugging percentage, hits his 30, 40 home runs, a lot of them are going to be solo shots
sure.
That way. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it's probably something that should be continually open for discussion going forward.
You know, some of the guys you listed didn't have the strongest 7 through 9 either. You know, Mike Trouts of the world, the Mookie Betts of the world.
Yeah, I mean, just because they're good at it, though. I mean, the Angels never turned Mike Trout into any team success. The
right.
goal is to turn this into team success. It's not to make Tatis the best player possible. He looks really good in the leadoff spot.
Bro, and that
he looks really good.
The other thing that, like Brandon says, in fairness, if the guys aren't on in front of him, he can steal bags, too. He's healthy. He's running again. I just think it's the right move. It's your best hitter, and he's leading off. And, you know, they were talking about on the broadcast yesterday, does anyone think that it's messing with Luis Arraez batting in the two hole? I don't think it is. I think it's just really, you know, a tough start to the season. I think it's a little bit unlucky, and I think, you know, he'll be fine eventually. I think that's a really, really good spot for him because, again, you can see his ability to pull the ball when he needs to move a guy over. If Toddy ends up doubling, Ben, to start the game, I have the ultimate confidence. If Luis Arraez doesn't get a hit, he's getting Fernando Tatis Jr. to third. Manny comes in, drives him in. I mean, that's really, really great. Yeah, the solo shots are fine for now. I like the move. I think it's the right move.
All right. I mean, again, I see both sides of the argument on this one.
Yeah.
Not going to change anything now. It's working team-wise for the Padres. They're 4-0.
Yeah, keep getting them to the plate.
Can they get to 5-0 for the first time in franchise history tonight as they open a three-game series against the Cleveland Guardians? And the Guardians look pretty good. They won 2 out of 3 at the Royals to open the season. A couple of guys who are hot for the Guardians coming in. Kyle Manzardo, their first baseman, has an OPS of 1,844. He's 5-for-11 with a double, a triple, 2 homers, 6 runs batted in. So he's 14 total bases in just 11 at-bats. Their version of Luis Arraez, and in some ways maybe even a more complete version, Stephen Kwan is off to a fast start. He's hitting .500 to start the season. He's 6-for-12 with a double and a home run to get going. So he is hot. Now, guys who aren't hot but usually are, Carlos Santana's off to a bit of a slower start. He's just 2-for-12. With a double to open the season, but you know, Santana, you know, he's going to get his
against the Padres,
probably. Yep. Against the Padres for sure. Bo Naylor, catcher, off to a slow start as well. He's only 2-for-12, hitting .167 behind the plate. And Jose Ramirez has not played. Has he been not healthy?
He had a sprain in his wrist. He's day to day.
Yeah, he is 0-for-6 so far this year. So that will be interesting to see how available he is going into this series. But they won the division last year. They generally find a way to be better than people expect them to be.
Scrappy kind of club, yeah. You know, scrappy club. Did you see the play yesterday when Clase drilled Jonathan India in the face?
Oh, yeah.
In Kansas City. Yeah. It was nasty, right in the chin, after going up and in the pitch before, too, and then dots him in the face. So that's a little scary. You don't want to see a lot of Emmanuel Clase in this series. That means you're probably playing from behind, Ben, and that's not what you want. So tonight's going to be a good test. Kyle Hart making his debut for the San Diego Padres. You know, you don't want to be the guy that interrupts the mojo of 4 straight wins. So hopefully the guys are encouraging him to go out and pitch as best he can. He's the fifth starter. Keep us in a ball game. Keep us close and never know what this team is capable of in late innings.
So yeah, they're facing Luis Ortiz, who's making his first start of the season. It's their fourth game. And then you'll get Logan Allen, not the one who used to be a Padre.
Right.
The other Logan Allen in Game 2 of the series against Michael King as the Padres reset their rotation. But you don't really go back to their number one because Tanner Bibee, who's their best pitcher, missed opening day because of gastroenteritis. So So he's not going to pitch in this series. They actually dodge Tanner Bibee. They'll get Ben Lively making his second start against Dylan Cease in the day game on Wednesday to wrap up the opening homestand.
When you're in a good mood, I'm going to start calling you Ben Lively. Lively Ben.
Ben Lethargic or Ben Lively?
Yes, who do we have today? We have Ben Lethargic on the bump. No, Ben Lively is here this morning. Luis Arraez got 9 ABs against Luis Ortiz, hitting .556.
I bet he gets at least one hit in this series.
I said he's going to get two today. Uh-huh.
Hits well against Ortiz, so we'll see if Padres can keep the momentum rolling. Totally different team, though. I mean, you felt like, okay, the Braves are going to be the tougher team on this homestand, and then maybe you can make hay against the Guardians coming in. Well, you dominated the Braves. The Guardians come in a little bit hotter, and we'll see how they do against a completely different opponent. I think the Padres, though, were more... It was more the Padres than the Braves.
Yeah, 100%.
It wasn't like the Braves were...
Kicking it around
making a ton.
I mean,
of
they
this.
Literally did kick it around a couple times.
But that wasn't...
Worked.
Those weren't errors.
Not errors.
Just hard hit balls by the Padres. I just think the Padres played really... really well, won some close games.
They're feeling it.
2 1-run wins, you know, a come from behind win on opening day, and then just a solid all around victory yesterday. I don't think the Braves necessarily did anything horribly wrong. A couple guys off to slow starts. You know, Michael Harris the second. He'll start hitting better. They, you know, didn't get a ton out of the bottom of their order. Didn't hit with runners in scoring position
at all.
You know, and that's that. You know, those will fluctuate, those numbers, over the course of the year. Padres won't always come through with two outs. They did pretty well in this series, but so far so good for your San Diego Padres.
Yeah, I expect Jason Hayward to be back in there tonight. I expect, you know, look, you're going to have to give this guy a couple more looks, Benny. As far as the catchers go, I'm not sure who's going to catch Kyle Hart tonight. It's going to be Diaz or Maldonado. Maldonado,
two for each of them. Diaz, Maldonado, Maldonado, Diaz.
Yep.
So could go either way tonight.
Diaz hitting .333 off of Luis Ortiz, and Maldonado hitting .500 and just two ABs off of Ortiz. So we will see. Jackson Merrill has struggled against Ortiz. Oh no, on his bobblehead night, he gets a knock.
I don't worry about Jackson Merrill anymore.
There's a lot of these guys I don't worry about.
I mean, there's not enough historic numbers to really care about how he. When did he face him against the Pirates? I don't even remember. But
didn't do anything wrong, man. It just feels like he's one of those players that just doesn't do anything wrong. Like, it's great.
Other than getting thrown out trying to steal.
Even then, I'm like, I like it. I like the hustle.
He just wants to join his teammates. The Padres have stolen, I think, 9 bases. They have 4 more steals yesterday.
Yep.
They're running. They're doing things. As Jackson says, they're applying pressure. They don't feel pressure.
Yep.
And they're applying pressure on the other team. He wanted to join that on the base pass.
Keep it going.
Didn't quite succeed. But, you know, you want to have a couple things you still need to work on when you're 21 years old. You hate to be a finished product before you turn 22.
Yeah, 100%.
It's about as close as we've ever seen, for sure. All right, we'll come back. Paulie's got some sound, he says. Some crazy sound in the weather report.
Awkward coach.
So awesome, man.
Reporter audio.
All right, we'll get to that coming up in our final segment of Ben and Woods. That is next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. First, Woods and I want to tell you about Trust and Will. It's an online way to make sure that your wishes are laid down on a piece of paper so that if something should happen to you, your family has something to go to know what to do in case of your untimely demise.
That's exactly right. Or even your timely demise.
That's true.
It doesn't really matter. You just want to make sure you have everything spelled out, chapter and verse. Look into getting a trust as well to keep your family out of a long, expensive probate court. It's not fun for anybody ever. So no reason not to just go in and get it done. It takes 20 minutes online. All the directions you need right there. It really holds your hand through the whole thing, and it's super affordable as well.
Yeah, I put it off for so many years, and then I realized it's so much better to know I have it done. It's like I didn't want to think about it, so I didn't do it, but it's way better to not think about it but know it's done.
Correct.
Than have to, I should do this.
And
then you put it out of your mind for a while. Again, just get it done. Go to trustandwill.com. Again, use our code FAN. Get 20% off at checkout. They're already affordable prices and free shipping of your estate documents by going to trustandwill.com. So nice to have baseball back. So nice.
It's just incredible.
Atlanta Braves haven't wasted any time. They've already made a move. Jesse Chavez, the veteran Jesse Chavez,
man,
has been called up by the Braves. And Hector Neris, who gave up the lead on opening day and pitched again yesterday, was DFA'd.
Did not look good.
By the Braves.
Did not look good. Jesse Chavez is back in the big leagues. Again, for his 77th
season. How old is he?
Season. He's 87 years old.
It feels like it.
He's like 40?
It's funny that the Jesse Orosco is also
84 years.
Since I've been watching.
41 was a 42nd round draft pick in 2002.
Wow. 23 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Dennis Lynn, who we had on earlier, made the point that when the Padres last started 4-0 in 1984,
yep,
not even Yuli Gurriel had been born. Not a single player on the roster had been born. You and I were around. I was 9, and I went to the games in 1984. Paulie, you weren't around.
I was not.
1984, the last time the Padres started 4-0. It's hard to... Just because they started 4-0 this year doesn't mean they're definitely going to the World Series.
Obviously.
I think someone pointed out the last time the Braves started 0-4,
they won the World Series.
They won the World Series.
That's right.
So you don't want to get too excited or too panicky after the first 4 games of the year.
Yeah, I'm all in. Oh, this is a good idea. I'd like to do this when Roki Sasaki pitches against us. Did you see what happened yesterday in Cincinnati. Robbie Ray was pitching for the Giants, and they started counting down the pitch clock, and he got all rattled and started walking, guys. So I'll go ahead and get that out there right now.
That's like something the show would do.
Yeah.
Like, do the shot clock. That's not bad. That's not a bad call.
It's a really good call.
Who's the college baseball team?
A&M.
Ball five.
It's the worst thing
ball
ever.
Ball six.
And by worst,
ball six.
There's no way to recover from it.
Ball seven. And like, you're louder and louder and louder.
Your hands are shaking.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I would like
shoulders
to do
hurting.
That. I would like to do that to Roky Sasaki very much. See if he just wilts.
Make him cry again.
100%. Again.
I don't know. Maybe you should do it to every pitcher.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, Blake Snell, too. Oh, my God. Yeah, I like this move, man. I absolutely like this move. I think that's really well done, Cincinnati.
They pointed out on the I don't know if it was the Fox or the ESPN, the Friar was right behind home plate, like waving in like the pitcher's line of sight. I think it was on the ESPN, and they asked, you know, would that be distracting? They go, if you're distracted by what's behind you, you're not locked in on what you should be locked into. But they do it at college basketball games, even at NBA games now, when guys are shooting free throws with the sign.
Should they
be waving stuff right behind home plate to try to distract the pitcher in those seats that are right behind, the expensive seats?
At Seals games, with about 2 minutes left in the game, we play Paradise City. Because this is a paradise city, and everyone lights up their cell phone cameras, and they're waving them around. Now, it's a little white ball, and so you're throwing a little...
And your own team is going all around them.
Yeah, your own team is playing,
too.
I know.
So you can't really just distract the other team. But in baseball, when you're right behind home plate, none of your players are seeing that. Because if you're batting, you're looking out. And if you're only distracting the way the hitters and the fielders are looking, you can target your distraction at one team or another. Meanwhile, when the other team's at the plate, should everybody in the outfield be, you know, cell phone cameras and
doing shine stuff at them?
Cell phone cameras and flashlight. We're not talking about a laser, but you can always turn on your cell phone flashlight, can't you?
I guess. I don't know. I don't know the rules, but I do like that counting down to the pitch. It got Robbie Ray, who's a veteran, was pretty rattled, and he started walking guys. It was really good. I like it.
Interesting.
Remember it.
Speaking of interesting, Paulie's got some final headlines for us coming up in the Rindle Report. First, let me tell you, this segment of Ben and Woods is brought to you by Robert Half. At Robert Half, they found that 67% of companies want to increase contract talent. That's why the recruiter's expertise and award-winning AI work quickly to find the skilled candidates you want. At Robert Half, they know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today. Paulie, right after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a Oh, yeah.
All right. Our discussion has led to people arguing about the wave now.
Doing the wave at
Padres games. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to do it when the other team's pitching it on defense.
Right.
But you don't want to distract your batters. Maybe just don't do it at all.
Yeah, just don't do it.
Yeah. All right. It is the Rindle Report brought to you by the Kraft Taco. Whether you're craving tacos for lunch or a craft beer for happy hour, the Kraft Taco is the answer. Now open in Balboa Park and Sereno Valley. All right, gentlemen, some cringe audio. This actually could have been a don't do this. We just had too many to choose from this morning. So going to go to women's college basketball. We have talked about this person before, I think, in Don't Do This, talking about LSU head coach Kim Mulkey, who's getting absolutely dragged today. I saw First Take had a whole segment about her. Stephen A. and Shannon Sharp, they all agreed. She's a very rude person, or at least she can be.
But she's very successful as
very
well.
Very successful.
Player,
great coach.
Then coach. Beat the Aztecs.
We've seen this
in
before.
The first round this
a lot
year,
of great coaches. Not very good with the media. So LSU in the women's college basketball tournament, they were bounced in the Elite Eight yesterday. 3-seed LSU, they lost to the number 1-seed UCLA 72-65. LSU does not advance to the Final Four. Of course, that's where they were hoping to go. So we go to the post game, and she's Kim Mulkey is at the podium, and listen to this exchange with her and a KLSU student. Now, as soon as I heard the man identify himself as KLSU, I go, that's college radio. I can almost guarantee it.
Of course.
I looked it up. Of course, it is college radio. He is a student reporter.
Just learning the business.
Jaden Smith, KLSU Sports. Coach, it's the second straight year you guys get eliminated in the Elite Eight. Just
terrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that terrible or is that good?
Terrible.
Is it? How many Final Fours you play in?
None.
So it's probably pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
This is actually a pretty snappy comeback on her part. It was snappy.
I mean, she put him on the spot.
She did.
You know, it's not his job to decide whether it's good or terrible. It's just to ask the question.
Second year, what was the question?
I don't know what it was going to be. Like, hey, what do you need to do to get over the hump to get to the Final Four
the
or something? Probably. Yeah.
Before the
it's probably
actual question.
Fairly legitimate.
Like, hear him.
Question. She's very, I mean, she seems like she's just very easy to.
She's pretty funny. That was funny.
He'd be in
Jaden Smith, KLSU Sports. Coach, it's the second straight year you guys get eliminated in the Elite Eight.
Is that terrible or is that good?
Is that terrible or is that good?
She goes, that's terrible, isn't it?
He didn't do anything.
He was nervous.
He was nervous and he didn't
He did the nervous laugh.
He was laying a little context for his question. I would have said, second straight year, you've been eliminated in the Elite Eight. What do you think next year you need to do to get your team over the hump? That's a legitimate question if that's where he was going.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's different.
It doesn't mean you're saying it was bad that you got eliminated this year.
Well, then she goes, is that good or is that terrible? Her point being, hey, man, getting this far is pretty good, right?
Yeah, that's he could have said good. It's pretty good, but, you know, what else do you need to do to take the next step? I don't know. She put him on the spot, though. She grew up in Tickfall, Louisiana.
I liked her response.
She's Louisiana. I didn't like that it was a student reporter.
If Brian Dutcher does that to Bernie Wilson, everyone's laughing about it, including Bernie. The 20-year-old college kid who's just trying to like learn the ropes and he's getting called out on a pretty big stage,
the Elite Eight.
He's mortified now.
Kim Mulkey's autobiography is called Won't Back Down. So
I believe it. I believe it.
Get a sense of who she is right there.
It's hard, man. When somebody snaps back at you, and of course, remember Ben and Sal Palantonio? You get the nervous laughter, and then he freaked out. He had the nervous laughter after that, making fun of your nervous laughter. It was, how many did you play in? It's pretty good, man. I gotta say, I laughed when I saw it. I laughed.
All right. Well, speaking of college basketball, Ben had a couple of updates earlier in the show. New Mexico, they have their new head coach. It's UCSD's Eric Olin. But New Mexico and Eric Olin now, they're going to be without their star player, Donovan Dent.
My word.
Good Lord. There was reports all of last week that it was just a matter of when, not if, that he was going to be transferring to UCLA after entering the transfer portal. That is happening. It's just a matter of how much money will Donovan Dent make now as a member of the UCLA Bruins when it comes to NIL. And originally it was in the $2 to $3 million range, and then reports on like Friday and Saturday to come out that
what's the real number?
It's actually more than $3 million. Yeah.
He's a good player.
Anywhere between $3 and $4 million.
Wow.
My buddy sent that to me and we're all talking about it. We go, why would any like fringe player in the NBA potentially, like, why would you ever go pro? Why wouldn't you milk as much college eligibility as you possibly can when you're making $3 million a year?
Oh, because
you ain't making that in the NBA.
You said, why would any NBA player go pro?
Fringe,
you
like
why
fringe,
would any
though.
Fringe NBA prospect in college.
Yeah. Prospect, not
like,
player. Yeah.
Like, if you're going to, like, Cooper Flagg, go to the NBA. You're going to have all the endorsement deals. You're going to get a shoe line, you know, all of that. But guys that are maybe not going to be a top five
second round pick,
not a lottery pick or anything like that. If you're making anywhere between $1 million and now apparently over $3 million, I'm like, they have ruined college basketball.
What would Tim Tebow make in the NIL deal? Like
Johnny Manziel.
Johnny Manziel makes $15 million a year or something.
And like, what is Arch Manning? He has barely thrown a pass.
Yeah. He makes like $7 million a year.
So much. And that's a good point, Paulie, because You say, well, they can do endorsements once they become pros, but the NIL deals are artificially inflated by boosters. No one's getting the actual, like, their dollars worth out of their NIL investment. I'm sorry, but Donovan Dent, for, you know, shows up at a car dealership for a weekend. They're not selling $2 million worth of Subarus right. at Westwood Subaru
because Donovan Dent
showed up. He's going to UCLA because a booster is willing to overpay NIL money because he wants the team to be good. And that's why it's not a fair marketplace for NIL. They're not getting the actual value for their name, image, and likeness. They're getting an inflated value because boosters are desperate for their team to win and steal players from other programs. That's what's wrong with the NIL system. And, you know, athletes are taking advantage of it, and good for them that they're getting it right now. But it's not good for college basketball that this is happening.
That's a lot of dough. So L.A. trying to buy the best players again.
They're tired of not being the best basketball program in Southern California anymore. And they thought, well, maybe we can buy our way back past SDSU. And you saw something yesterday about Magoon Gwath that entered the transfer portal and that he said he's still considering potentially returning to SDSU.
Paulie sent this to us last night.
Was that Paulie?
Yeah, it was Paulie that sent it
over.
Somebody
sent it to me. I sent it to you guys. It's Sam Kaiser from 24/7 High School Sports. He says San Diego State transfer Magoon Gwath told whoever he had a Zoom meeting with Kentucky today. This was yesterday.
Following Gwath, in Lamont Butler's footsteps, perhaps?
Yeah. Gwath plans to have a Zoom call with Michigan today and tells me he's also considering a return to San Diego State, one of the more intriguing portal prospects. Now, I guess that's just, hey, thanks for still thinking of us. I can't imagine an athlete has really ever done that, at least not in college basketball, not in this new era. You transfer out, you're done. Right?
But if you go into the portal, you can
sign with anybody.
You can come back.
It was, wasn't it Trey White, who was the Aztecs in football, was one of their best defensive end. Trey White entered the portal at the end of the season, and then they talked him into coming back, and he's returning for this upcoming season for San Diego State. So you can, if you get the right offer and you don't like the offers you get somewhere else, you can come back.
Entering the transfer portal is very similar now to declaring for the NBA draft, and then
but you could pull yourself out. I mean, what a tease, though. I would honestly, like, it's better if he just says, no, I've talked to Kentucky, and I'm doing a Zoom with Michigan, and we'll see where this leads me.
Dutch should be absolutely
thrilled to get him back. 100%. If he is considering it.
Welcoming somebody back with open arms.
Can they offer what Kentucky or Michigan is going to offer from an NIL perspective? Almost certainly not. But, I mean, at least the door is open, I guess.
Yeah, one of my buddies who's got some connections to the basketball team, he said, oh, they wouldn't. They don't do that. When you say you're done, you turn in your paperwork. They don't. And I go, I think for Magoon Gwath.
If Magoon Gwath picks up the phone and goes, you know what?
I changed my mind. I made a mistake.
I want to come back. Dutch is going to go, sorry, no take backs. No.
I do think, even if that is a policy, which I can't confirm if that is or not, but if that were their policy, I think they would probably say, you know what? We can make an exception for this one.
Yeah. All day long. It would be malpractice if they didn't.
Right. Oh, yeah. That got out. And then finally, love a good documentary. Are you guys excited to watch the new documentary that is in production right now around our old friend, Miss Haley Welch?
Hawk Tua
herself.
No, I'm not.
She is going to be the subject of an upcoming documentary that's like not just one of her friends with an iPhone or whatever. It's like a real, it's well produced, and it's from Bungalow Media and Entertainment, and it will chronicle her entire rise and fall in this era of social media and going viral from just a 5-second clip on the streets to scamming people out of millions of dollars,
disappearing,
everything in between.
Will I watch the Hawk Tua documentary?
You will.
I won't.
You won't?
Yeah,
no.
You will.
No, I won't. You know how discerning I am about what I watch.
You watch everything.
I watch nothing. I watch The Sopranos twice
it feels
a
like
week.
You watch every documentary.
No. I watch The Sopranos at least every month. Again, because I can't find anything else to watch. So, no. I will
Doc
not.
Tua.
Doc Tua is genius.
Dominic, very good.
All right, maybe I will
very
watch
good.
It. I do love a catchy name. I watched some clips of the Hawk Tua podcast. It was the worst thing I've ever seen. Again, I do stand by the fact that podcast microphones should cost $50,000 each for some of these people. So I will not watch.
You need a barrier to entry.
There's got
to
be.
There's got to be a barrier to some entry.
It was the worst podcast. We played some of it. It was horrific.
It was really bad.
It was really, hey, what are you doing, Pookie? Nothing. What are you doing? It's unbelievable. It's like watching the Manning cast. Terrible.
All right, everybody. That is it for us on a Monday. Padres Guardians tonight. We will be back at 6 a.m. tomorrow to talk all through it. Braden's coming up next for executive producer Paul Reindl and Stephen Woods. I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Monday from all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.